Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fort Wayne Local Podcast. I'm your host, Jake McAfee. Before we get started, I just want to encourage everybody, if you like what you've been hearing with these interviews, please subscribe to our YouTube at McAfee Media. You can also subscribe to the audio versions wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. And I also want to again say thank you for the support on this. It's been a really fun journey. I never really aspired to do this. It's just kind of something I started and it's gone well and I'm very appreciative. So, okay, let's get started. We have a very special guest today, super duper special. It is actually my wife, Margaret McAfee. Hello, Margaret.
Hi.
So today we want to talk about two different things. One is becoming a stay-at-home mom, you know, leaving a successful career to become a stay-at-home mom. And then also becoming an influencer, in this case, an Instagram influencer, and just, you know, navigating those waters. And I know you love the term influencer, so
the worst.
So I'll try to pepper that in as much as I can. Okay, so a little background on you. You grew up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, kind of a small town. If that sounds familiar to anyone, that's where the Little League World Series is. Yep. You then moved to South Florida in high school, probably a big, big change there.
Major.
Went to college at UCF in Orlando and got a marketing degree, correct?
Go Knights.
All right. I'm nailing it so far. And you then went on to work for a staffing company in Orlando before we left. Very successful, you know, rose through the ranks, did a great job, but it was long hours. High income, but also, you know, very demanding, high stress. You know, you're kind of working when everybody else gets off work, you know, because a lot of these people you were helping get new jobs. So it, you know, definitely was difficult to manage motherhood, you know, being a wife and the career and all that. And then eventually in summer of 2019, we moved our family from Orlando to Fort Wayne, my hometown, where you then became a stay-at-home mom. So I guess we'll start, you know, when did you want to become a stay-at-home mom, or when did that thought, you know, kind of enter your mind?
Sure. So thanks for having me. I'm a little mildly offended that I'm the, like, how many down the line guest, but it's fine. Building. I'm here nonetheless.
We were building an audience. We were building an audience. Now we got it. So
sure.
You're on.
Thanks. So just to recap kind of what you've already mentioned, absolutely loved my job in Orlando. It did have crazy hours. We always would tell our clients that people are our product since we were in staffing, and people do stupid things when they're not in the office. So we were constantly putting out fires when we weren't just doing our normal job. So that job really came with a lot of different variables in regards to constantly having to be on. And when you are a wife and mother as well, you just didn't get to put those things aside, unfortunately. So I think for me, and I'm sure obviously as my husband, you're well aware that once we had our third child, I was on maternity leave, and maternity leave was always very, very hard emotionally for me because I never felt emotionally ready to hand my baby over to a daycare, even though the daycare that we had chosen was completely amazing. And I'm forever grateful to them. However, on our third one, it was just, I was really struggling to feel ready to go back into the workforce. And one day, Jake would often come home on lunch breaks. And he came home at lunch one day and was like, "We should move to Fort Wayne." And I was like, okay. And I think that was kind of the catalyst. And as simple and crazy as that sounds, it just kind of got us thinking. And Jake had been thinking about it for quite some time because he would go back and take Millie, our oldest, back and really enjoy his time. And we were always the people that, like, ha ha ha, people live in Fort Wayne and they choose to live in like -5 degree weather when it's 90 degrees here in Florida. But I think just at some point kind of life hits you and you start to think about different priorities.
Yeah, definitely. And I know obviously not being a mother, but having heard this many, many times, it seems like that's, I think almost everyone struggles to go back to work. And if I remember correctly, you know, with the first two, you were still, you know, with Millie, you were brand new to your career. With Caroline, yes. You had kind of gotten a promotion. And so you were kind of, even though you didn't want to like stop being with the baby, you had like incentive to kind of, you were building and you wanted to get back at it and you were ready to go, where with that third one, you were kind of like established and comfortable with who you were career wise and like had nothing left to prove. And then it was kind of like, well, what am I even doing, you know, with this decision? So, I don't know. I just want to make sure that, you know, we kind of set the tone for like, you're going through like a lot of people going through what a lot of mothers do. So how's it been going so far? Like how's being a stay-at-home mom so far? And you can be honest, this is a judge-free zone.
As I look at our completely disastrous master bedroom right now. No, it's amazing. I love it. And, you know, I would be lying if I said every day is glorious. And, you know, my heart is just absolutely bursting. It's not. However, 98% of the time, I feel incredibly blessed and lucky. And I know we'll get to it, you know, later, but I think that a lot of what has allowed me to feel fulfillment in being a stay-at-home mom is my creative side with the DIY and the influencer thing. And so that has been kind of like a passion project on the side, and to be able to combine that and, you know, my greatest love with our kids has been just something that I never had really imagined. Quite often I would say there's no way I could stay home with my kids. Those people that do that are crazy. I just can't imagine. That's so much work. And now here I am, and it's just, I wouldn't give it up for the world.
And so kind of taking us back to like late 2018 into 2019, when we made this decision, like what were some of your concerns? Like what were you concerned about going into it?
Sure. So obviously we were moving across the country. So it wasn't just that I was going to be staying at home. It was that I was going to be staying in an area that I knew very little about because we had only ever visited. I would have no friends and then be staying home. So that was a huge like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And another, which I think sounds so silly now that I think about this, and I was thinking about this last night, is that I was like, I'm not going to have my own money, even though we always, from the day, you know, we were together, it was, you know, a shared bank account, and there was never your money versus my money, but it just felt like I was no longer contributing to the family in a financial aspect. And that had me concerned because that felt like a responsibility of mine.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wanted to bring that up too, because I think part of this is, you know, you definitely have to have mutual respect from the husband and wife, because I think it's easy to fall into like my money, your money, you know, that type of thing. And that's something I've been tried to at least be very, you know, conscious. Like it's always ours. And the only reason I'm even out there working, I mean, I'm here at the office right now because you're with the kids. So, you know, it's definitely like a team.
I mean, there's somewhere around the house.
I look at it as more like roles, you know, like there's different roles in the family, and you know, you're just handling it differently. But I get that concern for sure. What have been some of the challenges? Like what have been some of the tough parts?
I think for me, and I obviously, you know this, and probably people who follow on Instagram do, I am very I like to accomplish a lot in a day. And if I don't, I'm like, I'll be texting Jake like, hey, the house is a disaster, but the kids are alive. Like, so that has been hard for me to not be able to accomplish so much in a day and to be okay with that. And like, Jake's always like, if I could care less, like who cares if the house is a disaster? So that's been challenging for me. And really, I don't even know that there's been much more that's been challenging. Like, I think I was because we joined such an amazing community in Fort Wayne, I was presented with like a lot of friends to start immediately. And I think if I didn't have that, that would have been a huge challenge. But I've met some really amazing people like right out of the gate, and they're very similar to me and in very similar positions in their life. And so that has really helped. But I think, you know, for someone who might be considering the stay-at-home side, making sure you have a core support, and even if they work, like I just having friends, I think is a huge, huge help.
Okay. That's a great tip. I mean, for us, it was, you know, we joined Fort Wayne Country Club, and then obviously you getting involved with the kids' school, but right. I think it's just, so your point is just find something, a church group, you know, some sort of something that gives you a sense of community and some friends and some time away from the children, or you're, like you said, going through the same things, but you can like talk to an adult instead of just being stuck at home all day.
You know? Yeah. And I mean, you know better than anyone, I love being at home. I'm a huge homebody, but I'm also a very social person. And so having the ability to speak with someone besides a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old, I think is huge.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what have been some of the blessings, maybe even something little, like obviously you're home with your kids, that's an obvious, but what are like if someone's on the fence, kind of talk to them about maybe something that they don't think about, or maybe don't realize is one of the blessings of being home.
Well, you can hide your Amazon packages from your husband.
Hey, now I said blessings.
Just kidding. I would say that you do have the ability and time to, I mean, obviously the kids, like there's moments that I'm like creating memories in my head that I hope to never forget with them that I know I wouldn't be if I was at an office job. But I would say like when I am with them, I'm more present versus having to focus on maybe something that's going on in my career. And then also the whole DIY thing, not telling you to go out and buy power tools by any means, but just saying like, I have found that as a passion project of mine. And I 100% would not have found that if I hadn't been staying at home. And I think that's something, like I said, that has really given me a huge amount of fulfillment in my life that I didn't even know was missing. And I think that's really cool. So I think that there's opportunity to find more of something that you might be interested in, because you have more time. I mean, should your kids allow you?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's awesome. Okay. And then, you know, what advice would you give to like the new stay-at-home mom? Because I'm sure there's people who are going to listen to this and maybe just took the plunge or just started. And I'm sure there's probably moments where they're like, oh my God, like what would you tell them?
Number one, screen time is okay. I mean, if you need the break, give yourself the break. Like your kid will be okay. And I think my pediatrician will be okay with me saying that. But I mean, just don't stress about the little things. Like literally I'm looking at my bedroom right now and you can't even see the floor. There's so much stuff on the floor. And it used to stress me out. And now I'm like, you know what? My kids are happy and they're not going to remember that mom didn't have the perfectly clean house. So I think like that is a big thing. And to communicate with your partner, spouse, or whomever it may be, because like they're your person and they're the person that you have to lean on. And I guess maybe even for your partner to understand, like you want to be asked about your day and you want to talk about it, even if it was like, Jimmy threw up all over me, like let that person know that you care about what's happening.
That's great. How do I do with that? You can be honest.
You do well.
Okay. Thanks. And you're crushing the mom game. And by the way, we can't see a messy room. We can only see amazing shiplap behind you.
You like how I picked that? I actually moved the vacuum out of the way and the broken lamp over.
Okay. So kind of shifting to Instagram, before we dig into like how we got there, kind of give us a snapshot of where you're at right now. like describe your content. If someone's going to follow you that hasn't followed you before, what can they expect?
Sure. So I focus on DIY and home design. I do a little bit of lifestyle packed in there as well, because again, I'm a stay-at-home mom. So lifestyle is true life. I try to focus on keeping things real because I am not perfect at DIY. I am learning. I learn a ton from YouTube or other Instagrammers out there. And that's pretty much what you can expect. Just a lot of DIY and design.
Okay. And you currently have 25,000 followers, just a little bit more than my 600. I just hit 600. So want everybody
proud
out
of you,
there to
babe.
Know that.
I'm
yeah,
so
thanks.
Proud of you.
I'm proud of myself. How many did you have at the start of 2020 when this thing kind of started really kicking off?
I think it was around like 850, something like that. 850.
850 and now 25,000. So I got, there's hope for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're on the up and up.
Why do you think you were able to gain so many followers?
I don't know.
I know you want to be humble, but I mean like more like a tactical, like if someone's looking to grow their IG, like what do you think why do you think you've resonated with people?
So I took 2 Instagram courses. There's probably thousands out there. I just randomly came across 2 and they felt right to me. The first one was how to grow your following authentically. And I think that was a kind of a huge course for me. It was very kind of like that light bulb switch. And it, like, I implemented a lot of the things that they recommended. And you do truly have to show up daily if you want to continue to grow. If you don't, for some reason, you'll get a bunch of unfollows. I don't know. I don't play the algorithm game. I've tried. It's frustrated me and I'm whatever. But I think that you have to show up daily. And I think that creating attainable projects and showing real life has helped me grow, because I don't try to sugarcoat. I mean, I put makeup on and my kids are like, "Mommy, what happened to you?" And so I think that I try to just show up like my real self most days.
Yeah. I would agree. So I don't, you know, I'm not super dialed in on everything you post, but like one of my biggest takeaways, I love everything you post. I watch it all. And something that I've taken away is, you know, you'll be like, I mean this in a nice way, like looking kind of bummy, like with some sweatpants and like just hair up and yes, like that. But I think that's like kind of the point though, instead of like being on point at all times, like fake. You know, you're just like, I think to me, it seems like it resonates more because I think it looks like you make it look more realistic. Like someone says, "I can try that." And then they're going to, mm-hmm. you know, try it and ask you questions and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, cool. Sorry, not to cut you off, but there are some accounts out there that are huge. I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, and their content is so well thought and put together and put out there. And they do a beautiful job. And I can't even imagine the amount of hours it takes to just record the, you know, 15 different angles of one project, because there's some days where I'm like, I don't even want to set my dang tripod up. All I want to do is get my saw out and cut this. But I know that if I want to put out content, I, you know, obviously have to do those things. So I go through all that to say that there are some accounts who do it beautifully and are very well put together at all times, and have done a great job in growth and, you know, education to their consumers. But that's just honestly not me. And maybe one day it will be, but right now it's like, I know I don't have the time to be that way. And I'm okay with that, because I'd rather this be, you know, I'd rather a slow growth and be able to have the ability to, you know, be with my kids than to have this crazy growth, have to have some crazy work schedule, and to not be able to be with them.
That's a great point. So, you know, obviously with me putting out videos, I have people asking me, and I feel like sometimes people want to make excuses. And I tell them about you, actually. I'm like, when my wife started, you had like a busted iPhone 7 or something. It was like, like the camera didn't work right. And it was like cracked and gnarly.
All cracked.
And no tripod and you basically had nothing. You had an old, outdated, broken phone and were able to grow this following. And honestly, it was inspiration. It was kind of the reason I started this pod. It was right around the same time. I'm like, well, there's no excuses now, you know, like, cause I was always like, I need this, I need lighting, you know, I need the microphone, I need all these things. And so I was really just finding a way to procrastinate. So like, I think if you're listening to this and you've ever wanted to start anything, I think just starting, like just start. And the worst case is nobody watches, who cares, you know? So you referenced the hours. How many hours a week are you putting in roughly?
Oh, that's a good question. Not that many. I told myself I took a little bit of a break over the summer when all of our girls were home. And I didn't really post. I didn't put out content. Every once in a while I'd hop on stories, but that was about it. And I told myself that come September, I was going to like put together like a schedule, like, okay, this is what you'll do at these hours. And I haven't, to be very honest, but I have ramped up my projects. So if I'm on Instagram, probably a couple hours a day. But if I'm working on projects, it's really dependent upon our kids' schedule and their temperament and where the project is. I mean, I get asked probably daily how I complete any amount of my projects with children, like all the time. And I think it's important to note that I am always taking breaks. I am always getting down and up the ladder a million times to, you know, watch my daughter twirl in her dress or whatever it may be. But I'm okay with that. And if it's something that you want to do while you're at home, obviously you have to be okay with those concessions. So I don't know, that's a really bad answer because I don't really have an amount of time. It's just dependent upon what project I'm doing, but I haven't been very intentional on Instagram lately, in regards to, a dedicated post daily or a schedule or engagement. I just kind of, if I'm in a project and I like where I'm at and I want to post, I just decide I'm going to post, where before it was like, I posted every day at a certain time. And that of course led to more growth, but I'm kind of not in that phase right now.
So talk about that break. Actually, I think that's a really good point because I think sometimes you get caught in a cycle where it's like, you're afraid to step away because like, what if people unfollow me? What if the algorithm stops promoting me? Like, what was that break like? Like when you got back to it, did you see any, you know, negative side effects from it or any positive? Like, well, how'd that go, taking a break?
Sure. So there was definitely like several weeks where I was net negative with followers and that was really frustrating. But I've gotten to this point, and this is only recently, where I'm okay if I don't grow in my following. I would love to, because that provides a lot more business opportunities for myself and a lot more collaboration opportunities with really great brands that I've, you know, felt blessed to work with. But at the same time, I'm not going to allow a free platform in Instagram, and I think you and I have talked about this many times, to dictate my emotional being, because the algorithm will do what it wants to do. And Instagram's allowed to do that. This is a free platform that we are all utilizing. And yes, while it sucks if they change something and my audience tanks, because again, that it means different things in regards to income or business opportunities. Again, it's free. You know, if I had my own blog and something was going wrong, okay, that's something different because I'm paying my own money to have this, you know, platform for viewers to come to. But again, Instagram is free. So I have gotten to the point where I'm okay not growing. I have been recently very slowly. I just hit that 25K mark, which I've been hovering right below for quite some time. but the break was totally fine. I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel nervous being away from it, because I truly was focused on making sure our girls had a great summer and that they knew mom was present during the summer.
That's great. Okay. Well, good. That's good to hear. Cause I think, like I said, if you're feeling burnout or you're feeling stressed, like just take a break. It's not the end of the world. Like
100%.
The world's not gonna end. You're not going to crash. Like just take a break. Yep. And if you lose a few followers, who cares?
Correct.
Have you had any negative experiences or like trolls, any trolls out there?
I've had one troll and she wasn't even that bad. It was just like, I think I posted something like in the house or whatever. And she was like, she commented, "That's ugly." I was like, well, I won't say what I wanted to say back, but I just don't respond. I do feel blessed to not really have had a troll. There's no reason to engage in with people like that. They're, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. So
that's good. No, and I kind of knew that, but I wanted people to hear that too. Cause I get asked that a lot. Like, you know, what happens if someone, I'm like, I've had a few, I just delete it, you know,
yeah.
Or I screenshot it and then get more content out of it. Cause it's funny when people call me names. All right. What's been the most rewarding part of this, you know, like having this following and seeing it grow? What's been one of the most rewarding parts?
Working with really awesome brands, things that were like, I could have put like a goal list together, brands to work with, like in the beginning. And now I have, that has been like when I, in the moment, I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, like it's business, keep moving. But like, then I sit back and I think about it, I'm like, holy crap, out of the millions of influencers in the world, I am one of them that got to work with XYZ brand. And like, that just feels very cool to me that they would want to take the time to work with me. And I feel very, very grateful for that.
Gratitude.
Yes. Lots of gratitude.
The big G. So what are you looking to do going forward? Like, I know you're always thinking of ideas and what you want to do. Like, where are you trying to take this thing as it progresses?
I mean, I don't know. I go back and forth a million times because some days there's like, you know, I would love to stay in the influencer world only and just continue to work with brands and grow. And then once all the girls are in school, like really go full pedal to the metal type deal. And then there's other days where I'm like, well, it would be cool to just like kind of transition into e-design and interior design once the girls are in school. Both have like really different world, are very different worlds. Obviously there's some crossover, so I'm really not sure. Right now I'm just gonna keep playing it. I do a teeny bit of e-design, but you know, I don't really promote it because it does take up a lot of time. And then I work with brands on a pretty decent size basis. So I don't really know. I truly don't. I could go either route.
They're just going to have to stay tuned then, I guess.
yeah. For like 5 years until our kids are all grown.
Yeah. That's what we call a tease in the biz. What would you tell someone who's been wanting to get into Instagram influencing? Like, I know it's obviously a very enticing, it looks really easy. What would you tell someone who's looking to jump in and get started?
So when I worked a corporate job, I used to joke with my girlfriend at work. I'd be like, oh my gosh, this girl has a million followers. And what she did today was take a picture in a cabin in a beautiful area in her pajamas in front of a fire drinking a hot cocoa. Are you kidding me? Holy crap. If I only knew then how much work went into that one dang photo that girl just took. It is a lot of work, like a lot of work. If you are looking to grow and, you know, do the whole thing. So don't judge what other people are doing and be like, wow, I can't believe they've got this many followers and all they did was this. I think focus on yourself and what you want to do and try your best. It's very hard. Try your best not to play the comparison game, because you will get caught up and you will get burnout. And just remember why you're doing it. You're doing it because you had an interest in it and you have a passion in some sort of niche that you're wanting to create content and put out to people. And that's why you're doing it, and stay focused on that.
I think that's even good advice for me, because I mean, as you know, I've gotten really into making videos and obviously this right. podcast and trying to do these things. And, you know, I have 600 Instagram followers. I was kind of late to the game. And sometimes I do get a little frustrated. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm putting out some good stuff. I'm working really hard, but then I'm like, you know what? I like it. I am getting positive feedback. Like, it doesn't matter. Even if you only have 10 followers, you know, if they like what you're doing, then you've provided value for someone. And I try to, you know, remind myself of that and reel it back mm-hmm. in. Cause I think it's easy when you're competitive and aspirational, like you just want to grow, but it's not always how it works. So I think that's really, really good advice. And then we'll kind of wrap up with, you know, just getting off the Instagram, but what's one thing you'd do differently if you were starting over, kind of in the same vein of the newbie? What's something you'd do differently?
I would pitch brands sooner. I think that a lot of people have it in their head that you have to have, you know, 20,000 followers before you can work with a brand. Or so there's a bunch of different avenues of how you can work with a brand. And a lot of brands will pitch you on a gifted collaboration where they gift you their product and then they want you to post on your feed, create a reel, whatever it may be. And know your value in the marketplace, because a lot of brands will try to like, hey, let me give you this today. I got an offer for a silk pillowcase. That product probably cost, you know, $20, and they wanted me to create all of this content. Well, that is very, very below where my current value is. Oh man. Talk about value. See, this is why brands like to work with me. There you go.
Perfect.
We're back.
That was perfect.
See, I have the jankiest tripod too, going back to what Jake said in the beginning. The tripod I own is like $20 on Amazon, and it is so horrible. Santa husband, if you're hearing this, maybe for Christmas. But anyway, it's just knowing your value and what you're worth, and pitch those brands sooner, because you and your position and your audience are worth so much to these brands. And think about everything that they would be paying for if they weren't working for you. They'd be paying for a set, a photographer, a director. And then, so they get all of that in you plus your audience. So just remember your worth.
Actually, one more thing I want to talk about. How do you decide? I know one of your strengths has been like, you know, keeping it authentic. Do you ever say no to any products, or you're like, you know, I just, not even a disrespect to the product, is this is not you, or it's not something you want. Like, do you ever turn down, you know, money or opportunities with that?
I turn down companies daily. And I don't say that to be like, oh yeah, I'm so cool. I say that because I am picky about what I offer to my audience. For instance, I'm looking at our bed right now and there's a pillow sitting on it. So I had this opportunity to work with this brand, and I let my audience know, give me a week or two to like actually sleep with this pillow before I tell you how I feel about it. Because I'm not going to recommend something that isn't, but I wouldn't put my name on. I'm just not going to do it. So, I mean, today I think I had 3 in emails that I'm of companies that I'm not going to work with.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that, because I think it's also easy when you're early, you know, it's early on and you get one, and then, you know, you don't want to lose an opportunity, but you also don't want to become a shill, because then I think people will not trust you, and then
100%.
You know, you'll lose what got you there. So it's kind of like, you know, how long can you hold out, or, you know, wait until the right one comes along.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. So, you know your value and make sure that you are, whatever brand you're working with, you're providing value to your audience.
That's great. Really, really good stuff there, babe. Very,
thanks,
very
dear.
Proud of you. So kind of wrapping up, I wanted to do a little, one more little topic just about Fort Wayne and moving to Fort Wayne. So,
yeah,
you know, obviously you grew up small town, but you know, you're a lot of your, you know, teenage years and into your 20s were in Florida. How have you liked Fort Wayne so far? You know, it's been about what?
I love Fort Wayne. I never imagined I would like it this much, if I'm being very honest with you, and which you probably already know. He asked me like probably weekly, like, do you still like it here? Do you want to move? Are you okay?
I was worried.
I do. I really like Fort Wayne. I think that, can I tell you why I like Fort Wayne? Are you going to ask me that as like the last question thing?
Yeah, well, I do want to set the stage. The first time she ever came to Fort Wayne was back in 2008. I think it was 2008. And there was an ice storm that had hit.
Yes.
And all the ice took down all these trees.
Yes.
So, and I think the stadium had just been built. Was that when my dad took us to the stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
on the way home.
Yes. We get off an airplane. It's like 0 degrees. My dad's so excited about the Tin Caps ballparks. We go there. So she's already freezing coming from Florida.
Get out and see the car.
Yeah, we had to get out and walk in it because, you know, they keep the gates open. Because
we've never seen a ball diamond before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor Norby. And so, and then all the trees have fallen down from ice. And I'm like, this is my hometown. This is where, this is where I was raised. So, yeah, well, I was going to say what surprised you about Fort Wayne, or what, you know, what do you like about Fort Wayne?
So the area that we currently live in, we never explored when we would visit because his family lives on the different side of like the north side of town. And so what has surprised me is just seeing the different areas of Fort Wayne, because I really only had a glimpse of like that's, you know, kind of circle of like around your childhood home and what was there. So I've never seen the other areas. So to go, you know, further out north, like Leo area, and to come out further southwest, you know, to Roanoke area. It's been really fun to see the different areas and to just get to know the different areas of Fort Wayne.
How's it been different from Florida? Like life in Florida versus life in Fort Wayne?
I don't know that you can compare the two. They're very, very different. Florida will always have a piece of my heart. My family still lives there, and I absolutely adored the neighborhood that we lived in. Not maybe the location, but the neighborhood we lived in had amazing families, and it was just this huge, crazy, cool community. I loved having the beach, and my sister lived directly across the street, so that was something that you can't put, you know, value on. It's just, that's just amazing. But the other side is that, you know, we were put into a lot of situations with our children, asking questions in regards to the surrounding areas and the community that you shouldn't have to answer to a 5-year-old, in my opinion, or 4-year-old. And so it just gave us kind of this thought of, you know, let's discuss Fort Wayne. And so with Fort Wayne, you have a crazy cool sense of safety, in my opinion. And the people here, like everyone is so nice. Like, not joking. Everyone is so nice. And I think that's really neat. The people are super down to earth. And I don't know, of course there's things in Orlando that I liked better than I like here, but like Publix. But I don't think that you can really compare the two. They're very, very different, but I truly do love being here.
What's the most underrated thing about Fort Wayne?
That's good. I would say, and I feel like you might agree, is downtown. I think that from what I've heard, and maybe what I didn't experience because you never took me there, was that it used to be not so cool. And I think that the landing is super cool. And I love being there and I love the vibe when I'm there. And when I say downtown, I kind of mean that area. I don't really go outside of it that often besides the farmer's market, which is great. But I think downtown is really fun. And I always feel safe when I'm in that area. Like I don't go down there and feel like I shouldn't be there.
Yeah, not so cool is a very nice way of describing how downtown used to be. It was very not so cool, but no, come a long way. So, well, awesome. Well, I appreciate this. I think, you know, I don't say it enough. I love you. You're doing a great job as a mom. So I just wanted to share with everyone kind of what I have been getting to witness, and hopefully we help someone along the way, whether it's with influencing or, you know, becoming a stay-at-home mom. So thank you so much, babe.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. And if anyone has still made it to this point, please, like, if you have questions or anything, reach out to me on Instagram. I try to respond within 24 hours of all my DMs. I had someone reach out yesterday, like, I've wanted to reach out for like years and I haven't, like, just reach out to me. I had a follower come over to the house the other day to...
Like in a psycho way or?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sally.
Oh, yes. No, good way. Good way. Okay.
And it was just the coolest to like sit and chat with her for a while. She was buying something from me, but I really, really like just, I told Jake time and time again, how cool it was to just sit and chat with her for a long time. So anyway, reach out.